You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen. On sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save big money at
Menards. And there's something for everyone. If you're looking for adventure, it's there. If you're looking to just kick back and eat, it's there. All there is to say is you've got to experience it. You will not be disappointed.
Welcome to the Budget Minded Traveler podcast, your source for the everyday inspiration and practical tips that make international travel accessible to everyone. Hi guys, welcome back to the Budget Minded Traveler podcast. My name is Jackie, in case you haven't ever listened to this before. And if that is the case, you chose a fun episode to start with. One of the things that I do in my realm of travel media / creative entrepreneurship is lead adventure trips to destinations of my choosing with you. I started this in 2016 with a 10-day adventure down to Patagonia, and it went so super well that I fell in love with leading trips. So I've continued to add more and more to the calendar. And all of those, by the way, you can find at travelingjackie.com/trips. My next Patagonia trip is almost full, so you may have already missed it, but you can always check there to see what's next if you want to jump on one of these group adventures and travel with me. And I'm telling you this because my most recent group adventure was to a country that has long been on my own bucket list, meaning I had never been there before, and I asked you to go there with me for the first time. That country was Jordan, and that adventure was amazing. So first, I want to shout out to Carly, Sean, Ryan, Daryl, Chelsea, Charlie, and Mary Eileen for signing up and going to Jordan with me to hike the Jordan Trail, float in the Dead Sea, camp in the desert, and get into some other shenanigans that I'm going to talk about during this episode. So that's what we're getting into today, all things Jordan, now that I have experienced enough to contribute to a conversation about this wonderful country. And I have a very special guest today. I have invited a longtime friend of mine, Ban Barkawi, to join me in talking about Jordan. Ban and I met 13 years ago, and you're going to hear that story once I bring her on here in a minute. She is Jordanian, currently living in Amman, which is the capital of Jordan, and she is a radio presenter, so she kills it on the mic as well. So you're in for a treat today. Actually, you're in for a treat twice because we talked so long that I actually cut our call in half, and you'll get to listen to the second half in the next episode. Today, we're mostly covering what it's like to travel to Jordan. We'll talk about different parts of the country, my experience with the group on our epic adventure, and why you absolutely have to put Jordan on your own bucket list. And in the next episode, we'll talk a little more about the cultural side of Jordan and get Ben's impression of what it's like to live there. And I have a couple of surprise recordings that we'll get to listen to in that episode as well. So basically, if you know nothing about Jordan or haven't visited Jordan before, it is my honor today to introduce you, even via podcast, to the magic that is Jordan. I hope that you are encouraged to put it on your own bucket list after listening to these two shows. Just a couple things to note before we get started. You'll hear a couple connectivity issues, but they do resolve, so just bear with me. That's what we get for Skyping across the world. Also, we mention several things, specific things in this episode, like a cookbook, which I found the link to where you can order it online. There are several specific tour companies and places to stay that we talk about. There are lots of important links on the show notes page today. And I also included several photos from the trip that will really help you understand some of the things that Ben and I talk about. So please go check out the show notes page for this episode, even if you don't normally do it. I think it'll really help bring it all together. You can find it at thebudgetmindedtraveler.com/94. All right, guys, it is my absolute pleasure to introduce you all to someone very, very special. My dear friend Ben Barkawi is here on the other line from all the way across the world. So Ben, welcome to my podcast, and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. I never expected that one day I would actually end up on your podcast. This is great. Thanks for having me on.
I know. I mean, who knew that I would be even doing a podcast? Like, I think we have to tell, first of all, about how we met, because you and I have been friends for way longer than any of this blogging or podcasting has even existed for me. I know. And it's so cool for me to have you on because you are now a radio host, a radio show host. And so I love
it. It's kind of crazy how we ended up here, but it's true. When we met, gosh, you know, I know we met when we were studying abroad in Torino in Italy.
Yeah.
But now that I think about it, I don't actually remember the very first moment that I met you. Well, was it the river thing?
No, it wasn't. I think we were at the, remember when we did that orientation day and we like went into town and we went to La Mole and like we did the museum thing. Remember that day?
Yes,
I think
yes.
It was that day. And I'm pretty sure Jose was the one who introduced us.
Look at us being all cultural. Okay, well, that's good.
I know. Oh, it's so cool. And that was in 2003, September of 2003, or August, maybe.
That was
2005. Yeah, 2003 was my first. That was Costa Rica. My mind is on Costa Rica this morning after that football game. It's World Cup in the real world, even though you guys are hearing this later. But devastating loss to Brazil this morning. I know. You're right. Italy. So 2005, that was 2005, which means it was 13 years ago.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
I know.
13 years ago. And actually you were the first person who ever taught me how to love travel. So to me, you've always been traveling, Jackie. And I remember back then we were still studying. So we were both, you hadn't graduated from university yet either.
No.
Had no. You were both studying.
Mm-hmm.
And you were trying to convince me to drop out and travel to Brazil or something those lines.
Yes.
And I actually seriously considered it for a minute.
Do you remember that? I remember that. I had a lot of secret plans all through college to like run away. Oh man. Somehow I managed to run away and finish my degree at the same time. I don't know how we did that, but
good for you.
Yeah. Done. Yeah. And now fast forward 13 years, we're here. You know what? You are the first person who encouraged me to put Jordan on my bucket list.
Oh, yay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And that happened. In fact, on my bucket list, it said, because I remember this, it says, ride camels in Petra with Ben. Like that was my bucket list.
Oh, and what a cliche. I love it.
I know. It's so cliche. And you know what? I didn't end up doing that. But I mean, as we all know, the reason for the show, we're talking about Jordan today, because I have finally made it to Jordan. I have seen you in Jordan, which is so cool.
Jordan. It's crazy. Honestly, that was an experience for me. I mean, I know I'm here, but to me, it was just, wow, finally it happened after all these years.
I know.
And that's a thing that you actually made it over to Jordan and still, I think some people are hesitant, travelers included, also non or amateur travelers. The fact that you actually made it good for you. No fear there. I'm actually curious to know what your experience was like and whether you had any fear.
You know what? That's a great place to start because a lot of people asked me that before I went. And to what you were just saying about how some amateur travelers are nervous to go there, I would extend that way past amateur travelers. I think there are a lot of people, experience does not have anything to do with it, who are nervous to go to the Middle East. And so a lot of people, I mean, I had never been there. It's not like I was, it's not because of fear. It's just, you know, because of opportunity. But I do know that it is because of fear for a lot of people. And a lot of people asked me that before. And it was actually the first thing that I posted on my Instagram when I got to Jordan was about that, to address that, because I really wanted to. I had been in Jordan, one day, like probably a day and a half. And I really wanted to talk about the fear factor because a lot of people ask. And so I'm going to read what I put on my Instagram. And I quoted you in this.
Oh, yay.
But listen to this. Okay. So I posted a picture of me on a hike near the Syrian and Israel. Well, we can talk about that later too. Borders. But I said, several people asked if I was afraid to come to Jordan. And my honest response after scanning my body for any traces of fear was no. Since I arrived, that has been justified. I've met so many nice people, including the man who greeted me at the airport for my transfer and kept calling me my lady. I could get used to that one. I said, yesterday I spent all afternoon with a dear friend of mine, that's you, who lives here in Jordan. And she summed up the safety situation well by relating it to the United States right now. Anything could go wrong at any given time. Otherwise, it's fine. And I'll stop with it there. I love how you said that because I was definitely more nervous to come back to the US than I was to go to Jordan. So if that says anything.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, that's a statement. And it's true. Oh, you know, it's kind of, it's kind of like a piano could fall on your head kind of thing, right? It could happen anywhere.
It's true.
It's true that, I mean, I understand at the same time, I understand the nerves. I get the nerves. I get that because of the instability in the region as a whole over the past, I want to say, 7 years, for the past 7 years with the Arab Spring and the civil wars across the border and sectarian tension in Syria and Iraq. It's understandable in Egypt, obviously. So it's understandable that people are a little bit nervous. Funny enough, Jordan, through all of this, has somehow managed to survive and hasn't actually experienced a spillover to a large extent, hasn't experienced a spillover of the violence. Of that instability. So it's been described as an oasis of stability in the region in the middle of all this chaos. So
it's the rock makes sense of the Middle East.
For now, fingers crossed, let's just hope it stays this way.
You know what? It has been for a really long time. If we're talking about Jordan specifically, it has been for a really long time. And it's also a melting pot because you guys have received, you know what I mean? Because your family is Palestinian. Yeah. You guys, as Jordanians, have received refugees for decades from lots of places. And, you know, it honestly reminds me of another country that I know on this side of the pond. You know, like you're kind of a melting pot. You're a rock. You're a leader in your region. You're, I think, a role model for a lot of the countries around you. And so if we're talking about Jordan specifically, there's a difference than the Middle East.
Yes, absolutely. So. Exactly. But I think that there's also, I mean, if you want to think of it from a tourism perspective, I think a lot of people might know that as well, might recognize that in Jordan specifically, it's a little bit safer. It's a lot more stable than the neighboring countries in the region. But I think for the longest time, people figured there isn't enough to see in Jordan. So if I'm going to make it all the way to the Middle East and I'm going to go visit Jordan, I want to be able to visit neighboring countries as well. Otherwise, it's not worth the ticket or not worth the trip. But I disagree.
Oh,
I think,
gosh,
I
mean, me too.
Not that I don't think you should visit neighboring countries. I mean, Egypt is beautiful and Lebanon is beautiful and so on and so forth. But you know, Jordan has enough to see and you can probably vouch for this more than I can.
And I will.
Well, thank you.
I will. I mean, that's what we're here to talk about, you know, is really visiting Jordan, because that's what I just did. I went from the north to the south, and it blew my mind. You know, Jordan is one of those places that I think the reason that maybe you just said what you did about tourism and how people might think that Jordan's actually safer, they have had a massive tourism initiative. They've got a really great tourism board that is promoting travel to the country, and has been for a while. And so if you've seen something about Jordan, chances are, you know, you've read blogs, you've seen influencers go there, you've seen campaigns happen in Jordan, because they are happening. And there is so much to see in Jordan, and it's been stable. And, you know, it's like, they're saying, our doors are open, like, come see us, you know? And
right.
Finally, I've gotten to be part of that, and I can only back it up. I mean,
Well, that's good to hear. It's always a relief to hear that somebody had a positive experience in Jordan. I think most people do when they come visit. Mm-hmm. I think tourism, I mean, we rely heavily on the tourism industry because we don't have a strong economy. You know, a huge part of the Jordanian economy depends on tourism. So we took a really big blow. We suffered a big blow over the past few years. It's just starting to come back now, I think. So It helps every time somebody comes here and actually has a positive experience and then can share that experience with others.
Yeah, and it helps that there are initiatives like the Jordan Trail, which is relatively new, not the trail itself, but the idea of doing a through hike or hiking parts of the Jordan Trail, as so it is named now, which is what I just did with my group. Things like that are helping bring in tourism
for
as
sure.
well in a smart
for
and sustainable
sure.
way, because a lot of it needs to be guided still, which I think smart. But I was going to say that Jordan is one of those places where I didn't really know what to expect, because when people talk about Jordan, they use the word, I'm going to just say it, they use the word magic. And it's like, okay, so what do you mean by that? Like, what is that? Like, Jordan's one of those magical places. And okay, so you can only understand that so much just hearing it. And I think you got to go and taste the food and meet the people and see the landscapes and learn about the history and, you know, talk to the Bedouins and get in it, like get in there. And then you understand, like then you connect with the magic. Oh, also you have to float in the Dead Sea, because that alone is magic. Oh my gosh.
You know, I can't remember who I was talking to about this at some point, but we were talking about tourism in Jordan, and I think we're talking about if you had to convince somebody, or if you wanted to tell a visitor to Jordan experience one thing in Jordan, what would it be? And they said that the Dead Sea would definitely be the one thing you cannot miss out on, because everything else you can see in pictures, you can watch on video, you can hear, you know, you can hear stories about, but there is nothing quite like floating in the Dead Sea, because that is a physical experience.
Yeah.
You actually have to feel it. And it is kind of crazy. I guess you could call it magical.
Were we together for that conversation? Because I feel like that might've been one of the people on my group. Because I also just had that conversation while I was in Jordan with someone.
It's possible. It might've been you.
It might've been in my group. But I'm going to add to that, because I totally agree. I'm going to just take you on a little experience right now, because the first time that I went into the Dead Sea, I really wanted to experience it with a group. So I had been there with for a conference, and I was at the Dead Sea, and I knew I was going to be back with my group. And I was like, you know what? I can't go in by myself. Like, this has been on my bucket list. Like, I want to do this with people. And I am so glad I waited, because when we ended up finally going in, we laughed our heads off like we were being tickled children. Like, it was so funny, because this is exactly why you have to experience it, because you can't explain the feeling of what actually happens to your physical body when you enter the Dead Sea. It's like,
it's true.
It's
a mixture of pain
pain. It wasn't pain for me. Oh, that's the tip. Don't shave.
Don't shave and go to the Dead Sea. Just
don't shave right before. Yeah, it'll sting because it's super salty. But
exactly.
No, but I mean, if you don't have any scrapes, you know, and you haven't shaved, then it's actually painless, and you just float, and you like can't control yourself. You just kind of sit there and like It's so hilarious. It just kind of takes you over. I mean, it literally took us probably 15 minutes to settle down. We were all laughing, like just so hard. It's just such a funny feeling. And I mean, we're all adults, you know, just like having the time of our lives floating in this salty water. It was so funny. So hilarious. And I mean, we, you know, then you get out and you put on the mud because this is how they say to do the Dead Sea. You get in and you, you know, put yourself in the water. Then you get out and there's mud on the beach that like you can just put on. They have tubs of it, vats of it, like giant tubs of it. And you can just slime it all over you and it feels so good. It's like seriously like adults playing in the mud. It is so fun too. You just get it and it's just black mud. You just smear it all over yourself and it's so smushy and smeary and smelly and it's amazing. And then you wait for it to dry for like almost, so it's almost dry, like 10 or 15 minutes, depending on the heat. Holy, it was hot when we were there. It was like over 100. I can't remember exactly, but it was so, so hot. So, you know, like 5 minutes later it when it's almost dry.
It is really hot. Yeah. No, definitely really hot. I think, so when were you here again? You were here in the middle of May.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's probably the latest. You should come to Jordan if you don't want to fry because it's really hot. Yeah.
It was very end, very, very, it's like end of the shoulder season, which is very short because I think high season goes right up to May and then the shoulder is just super short. And then it's like, okay, too hot. But yeah, so then when you have the mud smeared all over you, you get back in the sea and you just start rubbing it off and it's like, your skin is so soft. Oh my gosh. And the sea is so calm. It's so beautiful out there. And you just float with everybody and hold hands.
And so definitely the best sunsets.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, the sunsets there. I guess we got lucky because I guess it's kind of dusty there sometimes, but we saw some of the most beautiful sunsets over the Dead Sea. That is for sure an experience that you must feel. You have to feel
it. That's the thing.
You can't just take this awesome storytelling on this podcast. You can't take that. You have to go yourself.
That's the second best thing you can do with it. Listen to Jackie talk about her experience.
If you laughed now, you'll laugh even more when you get it. You'll think of me. You'll bob around laughing and you will think of this podcast. Send me a message and tell me you did it and I'll laugh with you again. It's so great. I mean, besides the Dead Sea, let's talk about Petra for a minute because that's the thing. Is the thing in Jordan.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's stunning. I mean, it's impressive. I won't lie. The first time I visited Petra, I was an adult. I didn't admit it until after I went. I couldn't tell people it's embarrassing, but that's what happens, right? When you're from a country, you're like, oh, I'll get there eventually. Mm-hmm. But I was blown away. And so I felt properly like a tourist. I just couldn't believe this place exists. And when you want to talk about magical, I think that is definitely magical. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things. I mean, I know the internet is loaded with pictures of Petra, but again, just to experience it, to be there, you feel like you are, you know, bajillions, you're living bajillions of years ago. And to think that, such an ancient civilization was able to construct such a masterpiece is amazing. I mean, that just blows me away. It's a lot of walking. Again, don't go in. It's really hot.
Petra's really big. It's so much more than just the treasury. So the treasury is the thing that comes to your mind when you think of Petra. If you don't know what Petra is, it's the city that's like carved into rocks and cliffs. And it's also the place where Indiana Jones finds the Holy Grail. You know, I mean, these are important things.
Very important.
Important parts of history when Indiana Jones was there. Luckily they rebuilt it after the movie. No, it is still standing, but the treasury is that beautiful facade that you picture when you see, or when you think of Petra. But Petra, it's a city and it's way bigger than that. And it used to be a big hub for trade. And the engineering I guess you could call it, is amazing. I really recommend when you go to Petra, go with a guide. If you're on a guided trip, go with a guide, because it's really worth it to learn about what you're seeing as you walk. Otherwise, you will miss so many things.
So much.
I have to say the Sikh, which is the canyon, it's like a slot canyon, the one you walk down to get to the treasury. It's one of the entrances to Petra.
Is that the entrance? Is that the entrance you walk through?
It is. Okay, it's the main entrance. So when we did the Jordan Trail, we actually, if you do the Jordan Trail from north to south, you actually come in the back. So we came in the back by the monastery.
Right.
Which is so cool too. I mean, it's kind of like it's like a different version of the treasury. You know, it's just like,
I think you should definitely make it to the monastery. If you've reached Petra, you should definitely make it to the monastery. But yeah, the entrance through the Sikh, I think it's worth it, because it's so rewarding by the end of it when you're walking through this teeny tiny tunnel, and you're just surrounded by stone cliffs. And like you said, it's just a little tiny slit through the cliffs, basically. And you can't really see what's at the end of it until you come out, and it just opens up and it's...
Because it's winding and narrow, and the aqueducts that run through there are amazing. And if we're going to use the M word, I'm going to use it for the Sikh, because that walk, it's a kilometer long, was absolutely like breathtakingly magical for me. I felt like we were running through. I'm like, can we please stop time? Yeah. Like, can we please slow down? I love this so much. It was, I mean, towering cliffs on either side of you. And it's just to learn, like I said, because we had a guide, there were so many things along the way that he pointed out to us that just blow your mind and all have to do with, I mean, this is ancient civilization.
Maybe I should go with a guide next time.
You should.
I had to do my own, I had to be my own guide. But yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, you're right. You should go with a guide.
And like, you can walk down it, or they make it actually accessible to everybody. So you can take a horse carriage through it if you can't make the walk. Or if you don't want to make the walk, if you just want to be cool and take a horse carriage. But it's so cool, because when you're in there, you can hear these carriages coming, like thundering down the canyon. You have to figure out which direction they're coming from. By the time they like come around the corner, like, you got to like run out of the way. These guys are moving so fast. But the whole thing is just an experience to be felt and seen and heard. And it's so, so cool the way the light filters through it. Man, I loved that part. I'm actually staring.
I think the colors of the rocks, of the cliffs, is just, I think that's what adds, it adds to the whole experience. And also all the carvings definitely not to be missed. I mean, I know everybody wants to sort of discover the lesser known, and as you should, the lesser known treasures of a destination, but sometimes you've got to do the big thing too. And this is definitely one of them.
You have, exactly. Well said. You have to do this. In fact, it's so worth it to do it this way, that meaning going through the Sikh to the treasury as well, that because we came in through the back, this was so cool. And this is another thing you can only do with a guide. I couldn't even tell you where this is because it's not on a map, but
I'm a little concerned. Okay,
no, it was so Indiana Jones. It was amazing. After doing the monastery and like going in through kind of the main area of Petra, we went off to the side. We're like, dude, it's like 115 degrees. Like, where are you taking us? You know, and we knew that he was avoiding the treasury. We knew he didn't want to take us there through the back, because you have to see it through the Sikh. You have to see it through the Sikh. So instead, we went to this amazing tiny little canyon, like tiny slot canyon, that we literally had to like throw rocks into a puddle because the puddle was too deep. So we had to throw rocks in the puddle to give us stepping stones so we could get through the puddle and like climb up these rocks. It's like, once you're in, you're in, and there was no turning back. We were like, one of the guys, I'm not kidding you, pulled out his phone and put on the Indiana Jones theme song. And we were like,
brilliant.
It was so, I mean, Nerds Unite, it was amazing. We had so much fun. And then, I'm not even kidding you, a herd of goats like started approaching us as we're getting through this first puddle and climbing up this rock to the point of no return. And these goats are like threatening us. Like, they're like following super close. And they followed us through the entire canyon. It was so much fun. It was, it felt
awesome.
So,
I didn't even know you could do that.
Oh,
I didn't
man.
Realize there's another way.
Experience Jordan. That's the, that was my partner in Jordan. That's who I worked with to do this group trip. They're the ones who run this trip.
Nice.
Look them up and ask for Ayman, cause he's the greatest guide. And
I'm gonna call
he will
tomorrow.
Take you. Yeah.
Just take me on a private tour.
Ask him to take you
in.
Yeah.
The one with the goats.
Yeah. Tell him Traveling Jackie says to take me Indiana Jonesing through Petra and he'll know what you mean. Yeah.
Oh, I'm so gonna do that.
But anyway, that canyon tunnel shoots you out right at the entrance to the Sikh. And so then you exit Petra in the main exit or the main entrance way. You just totally skip the Sikh. So it's perfect.
Smart.
And
perfect.
So, and then the next morning we got up early and we went through the Sikh and did the whole traditional like treasury thing. And it was so worth it. It was just like a grand finale to a brilliant 5 days on the trail, which we had been, you know, we hiked there from Dana. Have you been to Dana?
I made it to Finan and never made it to Dana, but that is definitely on my bucket list. Don't tell anyone I said that. Just let's just pretend I've been.
Thousands of people did not just hear you say that.
It's our little secret.
Did you go to Finan Eco Lodge? Did we already talk about this?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I did. So
that
where
was,
you guys stayed?
Yeah, that was one of our, actually, it was our first night on the trail was at Finan Eco Lodge, which was super cool. It's like candlelit.
It's
Eco Lodge
so charming.
In the middle
I
of
love
the-
it. And it's run by the Bedouin in the area mm-hmm. or, you know, they work there. They intentionally employ Bedouin from the area. And I thought that was such a smart move.
Yeah.
First, who knows the area better than them? Right.
Right.
And secondly, you really want to experience the hospitality of the population of that given area. So again, who better?
Cannot be
them?
Understated. When we arrived there, we met up with one of the local guides. And by local, I mean, we went out to do like a sunset walk.
Beautiful.
I mean, we only walked like 20 minutes out to this viewpoint mm-hmm. where we could see the sun setting across the desert. And on the way, we passed his family home. And so the Bedouins live in tents, essentially, tarped.
Yes.
And this was his winter home. No. Summer home? No, winter home, because it's summer now. So they were about to be moving the next day to their summer home because the change of season, which I just loved because these are all tarped places and they just pick, I mean, for the winter, they were a little deeper in the canyon, a little bit more protected from cold and winds, etc., for their animals, whatever. And then in the summertime, they go out where it's a little more open with a little more breeze, etc. It was so cool.
Right.
But we went in. He was like, do you want to meet my family? We're like, yes. Because when guides ask you if you want to do something, you say yes, always.
You say yes.
Yes. And so we went in and they were shearing the goats. He's like, do you want to shear the goats? So
you're kidding
no.
me.
No. And so Ayman sheared one of the goats, our guide. And they, I mean, I had been eyeing these baby goats like up at the back.
Oh,
and he's
God.
Like, oh, you like the babies? And we walked back and he just picks one up and put it in my arms. And I was in heaven.
Oh,
I was in
that's
heaven.
So cute.
So these goats, oh my
God. The goats are everywhere in Finan. They just kind of walk up to you when you're sitting around having breakfast at the lodge.
They're everywhere. Anyway, I mean, that's what they do. They just roam and the Bedouins. I mean, it's so cool. They know exactly where their goats are. They can tell you how many they know. I mean, there was a couple Bedouin guys we had passed on the way that day. And every single Bedouin you pass, by the way, has a story. And you have to talk to all of them and they all invite you for
tea.
It's amazing. But this guy had this really cool old pair of, what are they called? Binoculars. The binoculars.
Oh,
sorry.
Okay.
Easy word. Yeah. I just forgot. He's like, oh no, I'm just watching my goats. And we're all like, what? Like where goats, you know, like where? And he's like, oh, they're up on the mountain here. And he just gives us the binoculars. And seriously, there was like a herd of 60 goats up on the mountains. We never would have even seen them. They were so far away. Yeah, he knows exactly where every single one of them were. And
impressive.
It's like his little son or somebody was with him and he was just like starting a fire and making some tea. And like, these guys are so badass. They're really badass.
And they know their sense of direction is insane. I remember asking them, how do you know how to get around? Because there are no roads. It's just desert. And like you said, they know where their families are. They know where their goats are.
Yes.
They know where everything is. And I'm just like, how on earth do you not get lost? It's kind of crazy out there. And they do it old school,
They
look for the stars one of the Bedouin guys I was talking to said that they trust their donkeys, apparently. So their donkeys also have this like brilliant sense of direction and they can guide you home in pitch darkness.
Yep. And they trust their camels to find water. It's amazing. They're like super connected with nature. That's how they do it.
Oh, yeah.
That's how they do it. Yeah. It's fascinating. And the stargazing out there, you mentioned the stars, is unbelievable as well.
Gorgeous. Yeah. Lovely.
The Bedouins that's another thing you have to experience.
Yeah.
And that's another reason you have to go with a guide. You guys, listen to me, go with a guide because you don't speak their language and you need to be able to talk to these people to understand how amazing they are and how just kind they are. I mean, like everybody
and just
had
that experience
something.
You had just the fact that they get to invite you into their lives, into their homes.
Yes.
I mean, you'll miss out on that experience.
You will. I feel like that's the connection. Like that's where the magic of Jordan happens is those connections.
It makes me so happy to hear you say that.
Oh, it's so true though. Like it's so true. One guy pulled out his flute for us and just played us a little tune. It was amazing. Like, and I mean, we had no idea. He's like kind of following, like he catches up to us, of course, coming down the trail. And I mean, this was within 10 minutes of getting on the trail. It was our first encounter. And at this point, we had no idea what these encounters would be like. We're just like kind of quiet. And Ayman starts talking to him. Dude whips out a flute and starts playing. And we're like, okay, we love you. You know, like this is amazing. I mean, it's like echoing in the canyon. By the way, Jordan is not flat. I don't know how much elevation we lost, but we were hiking through a beautiful canyon, like down to the valley floor, which of course we had to come back up eventually. There was lots of up and down and it's
for sure,
incredibly mountainous.
Jordan. Mm-hmm. Very, very, but that's why we have, I think, some incredible landscapes and there is no shortage of wadis, of valleys to hike through. So you'll never be done. I mean, if you come back again for a second time, which I hope you do,
I'm sure
you can see, you can experience a whole other Jordan just because it's endless that way.
Yeah. I want to go to Mujib. Mujib.
Wadi Mujib.
I really want to see that.
You've got to do that.
By the way, Wadi means canyon or valley. And so I love saying that. There are wadis all over Jordan. Wadi is a great word. But when you hear like Wadi Rum, that it just means that it's a canyon or a valley of some sort. But
exactly.
Yeah. So speaking of these other hidden gems, because we did say that, you have to do Petra, of course. Jordan Trail. By the way, the Jordan Trail exists because of basically Bedouins and shepherds like moving their goats and herds along. I mean, those are the trails that you walk on, which is why you need a guide.
Good point.
Because they know it. In fact, there were 2 days in the middle of our 5-day trek that we camped in the desert and, there aren't lodges out there. And we had a Bedouin guide with the donkey with us for a couple of days. The donkey's name was Raul, which I loved.
What was his name?
Raul. Oh, and she was a girl donkey. Raul, the girl donkey.
The girl donkey.
She was amazing. No, but it was so cool to have him with us. And I mean, I don't understand how you would even make it by yourself on the trails that we took. I mean, at one point I asked them, I said, did you take us like a different way? And they said, no, this is the main Jordan Trail. And my jaw dropped because we were literally like climbing and there were edges. And I mean, you'd never see stuff like that in the States because liability, but that's the real Jordan Trail.
I think even people who are familiar with the Jordan Trail probably go with a guide just because of these complicated routes. I mean, I haven't done it myself, but I have spoken to a few people who have mm-hmm. done parts of it. And yeah, I mean, it's not necessarily that simple.
I mean, some people have done it. I would not recommend it. I would highly recommend getting a guide just for all the reasons, not just direction, but the Bedouins
for sure.
But, so the other place I was going to mention though, was, I got to go to the north and I'm so happy that I did that because yes, you need to see Petra, but Jordan. I mean, every country is like this where they have those lesser known gems. And yes. One of the places I got to go was Umkes and it was so
beautiful.
Cool. And I have to give a shout out to, you know, Muna as well, to our friend Muna.
Muna.
I know Muna. our friend Muna who runs an amazing company called Baraka Destinations. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put that on the show notes because you guys have to know about this if you go to Jordan. They have a little B&B up in the north in Umkes, which is literally like as far north as you can pretty much get in Jordan.
Right. Right.
And
but it's beautiful. I mean, you've got the ruins there.
Yes.
You've got amazing views. It's also a little bit of, it's a different landscape than down mm-hmm. in the south. It's a little bit cooler. Mm-hmm. Umkes itself maybe isn't always green, but in springtime, a little bit more green than the rest of the country because it just gets more rain. Definitely worth visiting the north. And the north
Absolutely.
Is probably forgotten when you talk about tourism in Jordan. It's still, I think it's only now just recently starting to get a little bit more attention thanks to people like Muna. Umkes is a great one to visit.
Yeah.
And when you told me you were going, I was really happy to hear that.
I had such a good experience there too. We did, we got to do a cooking class in the house of one of the local women there.
What did you guys cook?
We made, I knew the name of it. I'm going to get it.
Okay, give me the ingredients, see if I can get it.
It was...
Because I can't cook.
Shoot.
I have no idea.
It was eggplant. Chachil.
Well, I don't even know what that is.
Maybe you don't. So we had a couple of things that they told us. Many Jordanians don't even know about this because it's so northern, because it's so regional. Because of course, in places like this, like you eat what is there.
What's there?
And yeah, chachil it was called.
Eggplant.
Yeah. So eggplant is in a lot of things. You guys love eggplant, but it's so good. Oh man, so good. But we did, so we made like one part of this massive, massive meal. And all these people came together in the house of this woman. Suleiman was her name, Suleiman. And here's a cool thing. There's a cookbook out there that's, I'm going to have to get the name of it, but it's called Empowering Women Cooking or something like that.
Oh, and yeah. Yes. That's right. Empowering Women Through Cooking. That's right.
Our group, we all bought them, by the way.
Did you?
Yeah. Oh, we did.
Brilliant.
All of us. Yeah. But what they did with this book is they took all these local women who were just known for their cooking in their own little towns and they let them all contribute a recipe and tell a story. And so the woman that we cooked with was in the book and the recipe that we made was her recipe.
You cooked with a celebrity chef.
It was so cool because her story in the book, like this like gives me chills. I'm getting chills already and I haven't even said it out loud yet, but her story was that she dreamt of bringing people together over food in her own house and like sharing meals. It was a simple dream. Yeah. She talked about her sons and, you know, and here we are like sitting on the floor around this huge table. There were at least 20 of us there. More food than, I mean, it was amazing, the spread. And I read this in the book and I was just like, we're in this. This is her dream right now.
Because
obviously, the book had been, it just came out when we were in Jordan. And so like it had been in production. And so obviously mm-hmm. when she told that story, it was a while ago and it's coming true. And it's because of people like Muna and Baraka Destinations who are bringing tourism to the small, like lesser known places and completely changing the lives of local families because everything that they're doing is staying in the town. You know, they're not changing, they're making good impacts on the local communities and it was so cool.
especially women who live in more maybe quote unquote remote areas of Jordan, like Umm Qais, because they obviously need some sort of income stream. Mm-hmm. And for women particularly, it's more difficult for them to have access to any sort of job, especially, like I said, when it's in a remote area. So mm-hmm. when you think of initiatives like this,
yes.
it's perfect. It's a skill mm-hmm. she's got. The ingredients are there. Like you said, the money stays where it needs to mm-hmm. stay. And they're productive and it's sustainable and it's not charity, it's business. And you're starting to see a few more initiatives like this around the country, all the way from the north to the south, mm-hmm. Whether it's handicrafts. Mm-hmm. I mean, even when you were in Amman, we walked past a few different stores that were selling handicrafts that were, that's right. Wild Jordan being one of them.
Yeah.
Just handicrafts that were produced or handmade mm-hmm. by men and women, but mainly women across Jordan and mostly in little villages yep. and towns where they otherwise wouldn't have any sort of income stream. So, I mean, we're starting to really pay attention to that. And you got to experience it firsthand. So you get to see the skill. Yeah,
absolutely.
Perfect.
And each thing that you, I mean, I'm wearing earrings right now that I actually got at Wild Jordan, and they came from women in Dana, which I went to Dana too. And so it's just like that, those absolutely mean something to me, you know. And I have another pair that I bought in Petra from some silver workers there. And like, I met the guy who made them, you know. You experience that in a lot of countries all over the world, but it's so cool to see these things coming to light. And, you know, Umm Suleiman, like the woman who we did the cooking class with, she's only one example. This is happening in a lot of places. And it was really cool to, actually, also up there, we went to visit a beekeeper, and a bunch of us bought the honey and the jelly and it's so neat to just be able to go and support. And you know, your dollar is making such a difference there.
You know where it's going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know exactly where it's going. You don't have to think twice.
Yeah.
So you did Umm Qais, and then you came back to Amman, and then you did your trail.
Yes.
I think there's still a lot more to see in the north as well. So the next time you come back.
I know. I mean, seriously, everyone's saying, did you go to Jerash? And I'm like, no, I have to look that up on the map still. You know, I didn't get there. I didn't. We stopped in Pella on the way back, but I mean.
Oh, cool. Okay, good.
Nice. Yeah. That's another Baraka destination, which makes sense because it's overlooked. Usually it's just like a gateway to get from the Israeli side to Jordan. But they're doing good things there, just like they're doing in Umm Qais. So yeah. And then we finished our trip we finished at the Dead Sea. We already talked about that, but we also went to Mars, Wadi Rum, Mars. Which is... I haven't seen The Martian, but they filmed that there. So if you guys have seen that, you get an idea of what it looks like. Basically, if you picture whatever Mars looks like to you, that's Wadi Rum. It was so cool. We stayed in like domes in the desert. The stargazing was amazing. We ate lamb cooked in the earth. We did a Jeep tour. We watched the sunset over the desert. That was actually the same day that we had been at the treasury in Petra. And so
it was like an epic day.
Yeah. So we after the treasury, because that was the last day of our Petra visit. And so after that, we drove down to Wadi Rum and we did all of that I just mentioned in one day.
That's kind of crazy. How long did you stay in Wadi Rum? Was it just for the night?
And then just one night.
Kept going. But did you stay in the Martian dome?
Yes, Martian dome.
Did you really?
Oh yeah, we did.
And nice. Here, I haven't actually inside the dome.
Oh man, it's so worth it. So
by and waved, but that's about it.
Yeah, there's kind of no privacy in those.
Really?
Well, I mean, when you have the curtains open, the whole wall is glass. Right. Oh, glass. It's plastic. So I mean, you just kind of have to, keep that in mind. But it's like a fishbowl.
I didn't even think of that. I just figured, whatever, it's pretty.
I mean, the windows are all facing the same direction. It's pretty cool too, because they stagger the tents such that like everybody has their own view. But there are a lot of them out there. And so anyone who's in front of you, when they're walking away from their dome, you know, they could just see you. It's like, okay, hey dudes, you know, yeah, I'm just climbing into bed or whatever. Yeah. but no, it's absolutely worth it. So here's the thing. Those domes are like a bucket list thing. Like, they're so nice.
It's one of those things you just got to do.
Yeah, they're so luxurious. They're over the top. I mean, they're air conditioned. They have their own bathroom and you're in the middle of the desert and you have this wall of just a plastic window and you can see the Milky Way in the middle of the night. You know, it's amazing. But if you're going to go all the way to Wadi Rum, spend the money and stay in the Martian dome, you know, like that was my take on it.
So, and you can still experience the desert. You know, you can do the whole, you don't have to camp out in the desert. If you can still get the whole experience, you can hop on one of the trucks, the Bedouin trucks, and just go out into the middle of the desert and make some tea. They'll find a really nice spot for you to hang out, spend the night there, come back, sleep in your Martian dome, and best of both worlds.
That's exactly what we did. Mixed in with some chasing each other down sand dunes and watching the sunset.
A bunch of 5-year-olds during this trip.
Oh man, it's so fun. Adventure travel brings out the child in you, you know, like the curious and adventurous, and so fun. I'm going to stop it right there for today. And I'm going to add one more thing to the show notes page that I didn't mention before and that I've never actually done before, but I'm going to share a song with you guys. I don't want to play it here because copyright laws, but it's a song that I heard in Jordan and it's really beautiful and I just fell in love with it. And this is one of my favorite ways to take the culture, to take the memory of the trip with me is through music. And so I'm just going to share this song with you because it's on my current Spotify playlist and I'm still loving it. It's all in Arabic, so unless you speak Arabic, you probably won't understand it, and I don't either. I think it's a love song. So go to the show notes page to check that out, as well as the links that I mentioned before, the cookbook, where to buy that online, who to hire when you need guides in Jordan, etc. Everything is on the show notes page at thebudgetmindedtraveler.com/94. And stay tuned because we are far from finished talking about Jordan. Van comes back for round 2 in the next episode, and I can't wait to share that with you. Until then, stay safe, happy travels, and thanks for listening.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.